Bhagavad Lila, Dasama Skanda, Chapter 13. Lord Brahma steals Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and calves. It is the nature of Paramahamsa Vaishnavas to hear and talk about Krishna at every moment. And as they do so, such topics appear ever fresh and new. Advanced devotees are very much attached to the topics of Krishna Katha, just as materialists are attached to the topics of women and sex life. The sweet for the materialist is poison for the spiritualist, and vice versa. After killing Agasura, Krishna brought the gopas and calves to the banks of the Yamuna. Then Krishna said, "O Sakas, just see the pleasing atmosphere on the banks of Yamuna. Blooming lotuses attract the bumblebees with their aroma, and chirping birds are heard echoing throughout the trees. The sand is soft and clean. This bank of the Yamuna is the best of places for our pastimes of play. Let us have our lunch here while the calves drink the Yamuna water, and nearby they can munch on the sweet green grass." After allowing the calves to drink the Yamuna, the boys tied them to the trees where there was plenty of fresh, succulent green grass. Opening their tiffins, the boys began eating with Krishna in a mood of happiness and joking. As the petals surround the center or the whorl of a lotus, Krishna sat in the middle and all his friends sat around him in a circle. Prabhupada comments, the Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to create Krishna always in the center of all our activities. All of the cowherd boys were looking lovingly at Gopal, and it appeared to all of them that Gopal was lovingly looking at them and directly facing them. Some of the boys placed their food on flowers or leaves or bunches of leaves, or they put their food on rocks or on tree bark, or some of them just ate directly from their tiffins. In this way, the children used different types of plates as they ate their lunch. The boys shared with their friends the food that was brought from their home to show off the varieties of tastes. While tasting one another's preparations, the boys would laugh. For fun, each boy made his lunch plate out of a different material, such as flowers or leaves or tree bark. The boys would taste a little bit of the different items brought from their homes, and then call out to their friends, "O Sakha, Krishna, Sridham, Subal, see how tasty my food is?" Krishna and the boys would immediately taste each other's food and laugh. Without being seen by anyone, one clever cowherd boy stuffed some jasmine flowers inside a samosa and said, "Hey, suckers, please taste this very nice samosa." Believing his words, one cowherd boy took that samosa and ate it. When that boy started making funny faces due to the bitter taste of the inside of that samosa, the giver of that samosa laughed heartily, and the receiver laughed along too. And afterwards, the person who gave that flower-filled samosa would get playfully beaten and run away. Krishna sat with his flute tucked into his cloth at his waist on his right side. His buffalo horn and cowherding stick was on his left. In his left hand, Krishna held a piece of food made from yogurt, fruit, and rice. His hand was so delicate that the food could be clearly seen through his petal-like fingers. Vishwanath says, in Krishna's left hand, he held a lump of yogurt rice. In between the fingers of his left hand, Krishna held small pieces of lemon and omelet pickle to mix with the rice. And he was taking that rice, lump of rice from his left hand and taking small amounts with his right hand in order to eat. The coward boys sat in a circle facing Krishna and chattered as they ate. While eating, every boy manifested his unique relationship with Krishna and enjoyed joking words with him, and thus a jovial atmosphere was created. Krishna addressed a buzzing bumblebee. Hey, bee, why are you flying near my face? Go to Madhu Mangal, who is just near you, and get a drink. Madhu Mangal replied, hey, sucker, do you want the bee to bite me? Hey, bee, are you not afraid of killing a Brahmin? Another boy exclaimed, look at that band of wild monkeys. Though they are hungry and watching us, the boys are eating peacefully. Hey, monkeys, approach stealthily so they don't see you and then steal their food. The celestial residents watched in astonishment at how Krishna, who eats only the oblations of ghee, purified by mantra and offered in sacrifice, Yajna Bhuk, was now playing like an ordinary child, Balakeli. Krishna was scolding or praising his friends and giving and taking half-eaten food with them in the forest. Most amazing indeed. While Krishna and his friends were conversing, the calves wandered deep into the forest searching for newer grass. The boys became perturbed to see this, and to mitigate their fear, Krishna said, O suckers, don't stop eating. I shall personally go and retrieve the calves. Saying this, Krishna took his rice and yogurt and went searching for the calves. Just to please his friends, Krishna looked everywhere, in the hills, the forests, groves, and bushes. After witnessing Krishna's prowess in killing Agasura, Lord Brahma wanted to exhibit his own power just to test whether the Krishna he was seeing in Braj was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead or not. While Krishna was gone, Brahma stole the boys and calves and put them in another place. After all, Brahma is a materially created being, a Bhadajiva, with the four defects of Brahm, tendency to commit mistakes, Pramad, the tendency to be illusion, Viparlipsa, the tendency to cheat, and Karanapattava, imperfect senses. Brahma became influenced by Krishna's Maya. This pastime is called Brahma Vimohan Lila, pastime of bewildering Brahma. Actually, Brahma did not steal Krishna's friends and cows, but took some other boys and calves, just as Ravana wanted to take away Sita, but instead took away a Maya Sita. So Brahma took away boys and calves who were manifested by Krishna's Maya. When Krishna couldn't find his calves anywhere, or the calves, he returned to the Yamuna bank, where he could not find his friends either. Now he was looking for the calves and the boys, as if he was bewildered as to what had happened. He displayed this behavior just to fool Brahma. Finally, to give pleasure to Brahma, the mothers of the boys and the mothers of the calves, Krishna expanded himself by his Vasudeva feature into duplicate boys and calves, Krishna was thinking. How can I return to Vrindavan alone? All the mothers will be aggrieved. Therefore, Krishna expanded into calves and boys having the exact bodily features, bodily limbs, on all their individual sticks, flutes, bugles, and lunch bags, exactly as before. All the boys were dressed and decorated in their own unique way, and their names, ages, personalities, and behavior were identical with the boys they replaced. This is a practical demonstration of the statement that Lord Vishnu is all-pervading. Leading the calves and boys, Krishna returned to Nanda Gokul. Acting as he usually would, enjoying their company. And then Krishna entered the various cow sheds as calves, and he entered the different homes of the cowherd men as their particular cowherd boys. Hearing a sound of flutes and bugles, the mothers immediately got up from their household duties, went to meet their sons. Taking them on their laps, the gopis, elderly gopis, embraced their sons and fed them with their breast milk, which flowed due to intense love for Krishna. Although Krishna was the son of Yashoda, all the elderly gopis thought, if Krishna had been my son, I would have taken care of him just like Mother Yashoda. This was their inner ambition. Now, just to fulfill their desire, Krishna personally took the role of their sons. And because Krishna was their sons, their affection increased by leaps and bounds. Even previously, the mothers had more affection for Krishna than their own sons. But now, that difference disappeared. The mothers treated their own sons and the sons of all the other cowherd women equally. The mothers took care of the boys, massaging them with oil, bathing, smearing their bodies with sandalwood paste, decorating with ornaments, chanting protective mantras, applying tilak and feeding them. In this way, Krishna arranged that each individual elderly gopi of Braj could serve him personally. In the same way, when the calves returned to the Goshala, their mothers licked their bodies and fed them profusely with milk that flowed from their udders. In this way, life in Vrindavan continued for 1 year of earth time, where Krishna played the role of the cowherd boys and the calves. One day, Krishna entered the forest of Vrindavan with Balaram tending the cows. The cows were grazing atop Govardhan Hill. Looking down to the pasturing grounds, they were searching for green grass. Spotting their calves, they forgot everything due to affection and ran down the rough path, even though their front and hind legs were tied together. In reciprocation, the cows were running towards their calves in great anxiety. Milk was flowing from their udders and their tails were standing in the sky. They ran very enthusiastically until they reached their calves. Even though the cows had given birth to new calves, after coming down from Govardhan, because of increased affection, they allowed the older calves to drink their milk while licking their bodies so intently And so affectionately, it appeared that they wanted to swallow them. The coward men were upset because they could not check the cows from going to their calves. With great difficulty, they came down from Govardhan Hill. But then, when they saw their sons, they became also overwhelmed with intense affection and became pacified. Lifting and embracing their sons, they smelled their heads and enjoyed pleasure. With great reluctance, the gopas put their sons aside and returned to performing their duties. While remembering their sons afterwards, tears would glide down from their eyes. When Balaram saw the cows had such great attachment for the calves that had grown up and were no longer drinking milk, he was somewhat confused as to the cause. He thought, "What amazing thing is happening? The affection of all the residents of Vrindavan, even me, towards these boys and calves is increasing as never before. It seems that it's on the same level as our affection for Kaniya. Whose mystic power is causing this? Is she some Rakshasi, or demigoddess? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna. For who else could bewilder me?" While thinking in this way, Balaram came to see with the eye of transcendental knowledge that all the calves and boys were actually expansions of Krishna's form. Baladev said, "O Supreme Controller, these boys are not great devatas, nor are these calves great sages like Narad. You are manifesting yourself as them. Please explain. Where have the other calves and boys gone? Why are you expanding like this? What is the cause, my dear brother?" Krishna briefly explained the whole situation. And this was 5 or 6 days before the 1 year was up. Brahma returned after what was a moment of his time and a year of earth time. He wanted to see the fun created by his stealing the boys and calves, but he was also afraid that he was playing with fire. Krishna was his master, so Brahma was anxious, so he stayed away for only a moment. But surprisingly enough, he saw Krishna playing with the coward boys and tending the same calves as he was doing a year earlier. On the day when Brahma stole the cows and boys, Brahma was not with Krishna because it was his birthday and he was celebrating. Brahma returned once again a year later and Balaram was also not present. Brahma thought, "I took all the boys and calves to Vrindavan and kept them sleeping in a cave by my mystic power. Has Krishna brought them back here?" Brahma understood that the original boys and calves were still under the control of his mayic power. Therefore, he thought, "The same number of boys and calves have been with Krishna for a whole year, but they are not the ones that I illusion by my mystic potency. Who are they? Where have they come from? Have these boys and calves been created by Krishna, or did he create the ones that are lying asleep?" While thinking in this way for a long time, Brahma realized that he couldn't understand what was happening. He thought, "When I go to the cave and see all the boys and calves sleeping, and I return, does Krishna suddenly bring them here for me to see? And afterwards he puts them back?" Although Brahma wanted to bewilder and mystify Krishna, it was he who was becoming captivated and bewildered. He was defeated in it by his own attempt. When a person attempts to use his power against a superior person, The result is that that less powerful person becomes diminished. As Brahma looked on, all the cows and boys manifested dark rain-blue complexions, dressed in yellow silk garments. They all had four arms with conch, disc, mace, and lotus, and they wore a mukut on their heads and the curl of fine yellow hair in the upper portion of their Vishnu's chest. They have shivats and Lakshmi Rekha, earrings and armlets, kostuba gems around their necks, necks like a conch shell with three lines, sacred belts around their waists. They appeared very beautiful. Although the Vaikunthavasis have such form, the shivats and kostuba gem are special characteristics that only Lord Vishnu has. Brahma saw that every part of these personalities, from the top of their heads to the tip of their toes, was decorated with tulsi buds offered to them by devotees, by their smiling, sidelong glances of their reddish eyes. These Vishnu forms created and protected the desires of their devotees. All of the Vishnu Murtis, surrounded by the opulences, mystic potencies, and 24 elements of creation. Brahma saw time, sabhav, sanskara, desire, karma, the three gunas, had all taken forms to worship the Vishnu Murtis. By the influence of these Vishnamurtis, Brahma became stunned and silent and almost blind. Krishna compassionately removed the curtain of his yoga maya and revived the external consciousness of Brahma. He appeared like a dead man returning to life. With difficulty he opened his eyes. Brahma saw the universe and himself as before, looking around. Brahma saw Vrindavan filled with trees that were very pleasing, the means of livelihood. Vrindavan is a transcendental abode of the Lord. There's no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, human beings and fierce animals, even tigers and deer, live together in transcendental friendship. Brahma saw the absolute truth appearing as a child standing alone, just as before a morsel of food in his hand, searching everywhere for the calves and his coward friends. Because of Brahma's false prestige, Krishna showed his real position so he could appreciate their eternal relationship. Brahma hastily got down from his swan carrier and fell like a golden rod, touching the lotus feet of Krishna with the tips of his four crowns of his head. Brahma bathed Krishna's feet with water of his tears of joy, standing and falling again and again at Krishna's lotus feet for a long time. Brahma remembered the greatness of Krishna that he had just seen. Finally, Brahma got up very slowly and wiped his eyes, bowing his head low, with his mind concentrated and his body trembling. He very humbly began with faltering words to offer prayers. Srila Prabhupada is a very nice purport to verse number 9 in this chapter 13 of Brahma stealing the boys and calves. If you may know that this chapter 13 was the last part of the Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada commented on before leaving this world and returning to Goloka Dham. So these purports are very beautiful. Krishnasya Vishvak Puraraji Mandale Abhyanana Fula Drisho Prajarbaka Saho Pavishta Vipane Barejush Chadayatam Boruha Karnikaya. Like the whirl of a lotus flower surrounded by its petals and leaves, Krishna sat in the center, encircled by lines of his friends, who all looked very beautiful. Fuladrisha, their faces looking very bright because of transcendental pleasure. Every one of them was trying to look forward toward Krishna, thinking that Krishna might look toward him. In this way, they all enjoyed lunch in the forest of Braj. This is the verse in translation. Now, Srila Prabhupada, actually it's text 8. It's Prabhupada's purport to text 8, chapter 13. To a pure devotee, Krishna is always visible. Santak sadeva riyeshvilokayanti. Krishna says the same in Bhagavad Gita. Sarvata panipadam tat sarvatokshisharomukam. If one is raised to the platform of pure devotional service, Krishna is always visible in the core of one's heart. One who has attained such perfection is all beautiful and transcendental bliss. The present Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to keep Krishna in the center. For if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. This purport, by reading this purport, which is one of the last purports that Prabhupada ever dictated on the Srimad Bhagavatam, one can't help but think that in one sense it's speaking, Prabhupada is speaking biographically about himself. He says that for a pure devotee, Krishna is always visible in the core of his heart. Well, certainly Prabhupada was such a pure devotee, having constant darshan of Krishna within his heart. And then Prabhupada says that one who has attained such perfection of pure devotional service, he is all beautiful and transcendental bliss. Well, certainly we followers of Srila Prabhupada consider that he, Srila Prabhupada, was and is all beautiful and transcendental bliss. And then Prabhupada explains the basic principle of human life and God-centered spiritual life and the basic principle of the entire Krishna consciousness movement. What is that principle? The principle is to keep Krishna in the center. If someone keeps Krishna in the center of his life, in the center of his house, in the center of his mind and heart, if he does that, then all his activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. So this itself is a very beautiful and blissful purport by Srila Prabhupada, text number 8, chapter 13. Bhaktivinod Thakur, he explains that this Brahma Vimohan Leela, chapter 13 from the 10th canto, represents some impediments to pure Braja Bhajan. And he says that this removes skepticism due to the cultivation of karma and jnana and the tendency to emphasize on veneration, Aishvarya, while disregarding the sweetness of love or Madhurya. One must avoid this offense. And this Brahma Vimohan Leela represents mundane activities and speculative knowledge, karma and jnana. Of course, these are coverings of pure bhakti, which Rupa Goswami defines in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He gives a definition of uttam bhakti or pure bhakti. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma adyanavitam anukalyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. That uttam bhakti is characterized by his tatastha lakshana and srupa lakshana. The secondary characteristics is that pure devotion or pure Krishna bhakti has no coverings or contaminations of fruitive activities or karma or jnana or speculative ideas or Mayavada, Aishwarya conceptions, and the main characteristic or quality, Srupa Lakshana, of Uttam Bhakti or Pure Bhakti is that one is always acting favorably to bring happiness and satisfaction to Krishna with a favorable attitude. Anukulyena, Anushilanam. So if we have any of this attachment to cultivating karma and gyan, and to be too much preoccupied with awe and veneration, Yaishvarya Mai viewpoint, then this reading of this, and this is a type of bewilderment which separates us from the pure sweetness of Krishna and Braj, then we can pray to the Lord to remove this type of bewilderment from our consciousness by reading this Leela.